Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Lots of conversations around schooling. Should schools be going back? Should it be compulsory? Shouldn't they be? We are in the midst of the third wave. It is a very anxious time for not only students, but also for parents, for teachers, for support staff, everybody involved at the school. Joining us on the line is Elijah Makhlanga, who is the spokesperson for Basic Education. A very, very good morning to you. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. How are you?
Good morning. Well, I'm fine. I hope you are as well.
Thank you. So far, so good. Keeping social distance, keeping away from everybody. So we will, let's just see how that goes. So, of course, it's a very, very difficult conversation around school because it isn't just the kids. It's the entire environment. It's the transport. It's teachers. It's parents. It's support staff at the schools. It's a very difficult decision, I would imagine, and a very hard decision for the Department of Education to make during a pandemic.
Of course, it was a difficult decision, but one that came after many months of observing the losses that we have suffered as a sector and the long-term impact on children. The researchers are saying that the true impact of this will be felt in the next 10 to 15 years when these children begin to struggle, when they've grown up and in different places where they're supposed to be excelling. Yes, they would not have learned much due to the alternating approach that we are using at the moment. And the researchers are also saying that we are looking towards 2030 as when possibly the recovery could have taken place. Because initially we thought a 2-year recovery plan was going to be enough. But as we continue with the alternating approach, it does show that it will take much longer.
So what is the current regulations and how is it going to change in July, which is the decision that's been taken?
Well, at the moment, we have said schools must not have all the learners at once. They need to cut the classes in half. And one group comes on a Monday, the other one on a Tuesday, and the first group comes back on Wednesday. But in some other schools, learners attend, one group goes to school for a full week, and then the second group will attend in the following week, which means there is a full week when some children are not in school while others are there. But what is also observed is the fact that those that are home are not getting support at home because parents are either working or if there's someone home, that person. With some of the children, when they are not in school, there's no supervision. They end up playing and not learning. By the time they go back to school, when the teachers talk to them, they establish that, in fact, there was no learning taking place, which means the teachers must start all over again. And that's what teachers have been saying, that they feel like they're starting afresh every day. And because of that, it creates lots of frustrations in the system, which means at the end of the year, there won't be much to assess them on because they would not have made as much progress as they would if they were to be in school consistently.
The decision during, it must have made it more difficult to make this decision during the third wave, obviously.
Well, the discussion started before the third wave.
Sure.
So it had been a matter of discussions and consultation over the time. But when we noticed that the third wave was approaching, the decision was taken to make and announce the decision, but for implementation in almost 2 months' time, which means we have time now to assess the third wave and its impact, but also prepare parents and schools for the return of learners back to school in July, when the third term begins.
I see what some of the schools doing are doing. Some of the private schools are doing is if there's, for example, an outbreak or a couple of incidents within a certain grade, they will tell those grades to stay home for a week. In other words, they've almost creating bubbles or pods so that you can have a situation where the school as a whole continues to function.
Yeah, those are some of the things that we're considering as well. That's why we're talking about a risk-adjusted strategy, so that we look at what is possible, because even now we are not going to insist that all schools must go back to 100% attendance when there are cities and areas in the country where the third wave is much more devastating than in other places. So where the infection rate is very low, they will return in full, but where there are hotspots and the infection rate are very high, we are going to ask them to follow a different model. So we are considering that, but also assessing the situation across the country to see which areas can go 100% and which areas shouldn't.
I think what you said is so important earlier, that that you looked at what these kids were actually learning at home, what some of the kids were learning, and if they weren't getting the support at home, or, you know, parents are maybe working or not able to assist, whatever the reasons are, it doesn't really matter. What matters is the kids' education, and if they're not getting any form of education at home in terms of support for school, then an alternative absolutely has to be found, and from what I understand, that's exactly what you're doing, is trying to find a way to balance the safety of the kids, the teachers and the families with the priority of not losing out on a year and a half and possibly even 2 years of critical time within these kids' lives.
No, that's correct. You know, learners should be learning for 7 hours a day or thereabouts, and we don't think that that kind of supervision took place in the home. That's why there are gaps. But there are also gaps in terms of the reading ability of learners. In fact, that's one of the biggest losses that we have incurred, that the researchers have told us about, that reading is very important, and it needs a teacher to facilitate that process inside the classroom, which is a controlled environment. At home, it's difficult to do that. And it's something that we want parents to understand, because some of them are saying, no, we are sending our children to die. Which is something that they said even last year when we opened schools, but a month later they appreciated the decision to send learners back to school. They understand it's always a difficult decision to do, because you don't know what is going to happen, as you correctly indicated earlier, that if the staff, it's in the public transport, it's in the shopping center. That's why the president insisted last night that we all need to comply wherever we are, so that we are able to reduce the infection rate in the country, so that the country can continue in different areas of life to operate. So schools as well are like that. We also need to work together to make sure that we create an environment where safe learning will take place, where parents are supporting their children. Because it's correct, some parents are not that educated that they can understand and have a full grasp of what the curriculum requires of them to do at home when they're with their children. But we also know that some children don't disclose the amount of the work that has been given from schools to come and do.
Like my kids. Those are mine. Those are mine. Is any work? Yeah, no, nothing. I can't believe that. Yeah. Are you sure? No, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Yeah.
So we need to make sure that all of those things happen. And the only place where that can happen is the school. That's why it's
good. Absolutely right.
Schools are better to make sure that learning and teaching takes place.
100%. Elijah Makhlanga, who is the basic education spokesperson, not an easy job at all at the moment, trying to balance all of these requirements. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us.